Where do you go? Then there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry. Nobody likes me. I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
I don't want to create a panic.
The president held another fake press conference / campaign rally at the White House where he pretended everything's great as the coronavirus pandemic continues to rage, and now he's trying to pretend he's anti-war in response to the news that he insulted veterans.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I wonder to myself, could life ever be sane again?
Trump and his allies, they don't want to calm things down. They actually want things to get worse, not better, because they think they can blame it on Joe Biden. Kellyanne Conway came out and said it outright. That's why Trump and his attorney general moved to classify Democratic cities as, quote, anarchist jurisdictions in an insane and deeply authoritarian memo last week. And it's why Trump tweeted this last night. The real polls are starting to look great. We will be having an even bigger victory than that of 2016. The radical left anarchists, agitators, looters, and just plain lunatics will not be happy, but they will behave. They'll behave. It's never reassuring when the president talks about his political opponents like a dean trying to shut down a rowdy frat in an 80s teen comedy. Trump's strategy isn't working. Poll after poll has shown that the American people can see through it. For one thing, Trump can't call himself the law and order candidate when he surrounds himself with criminal goons. Just take, for example, Louis DeJoy, who is Trump's postmaster general. This weekend, it was reported that DeJoy, a major GOP donor with tens of millions of dollars in conflicts of interest, may have illegally pressured employees to donate to Republicans, then reimburse them with bonuses, which must have really sucked for his employees. Okay, honey, the good news is I got a bonus of $50,000. The bad news is I have to give it to Mitch McConnell. Don't be mad, honey. Where are you going, honey? At his press conference yesterday, Trump was asked if he would be okay with removing DeJoy from his post, and he quickly pivoted to complaining about the many investigations of him.
Would you support an investigation, sir?
Sure, sure.
And
I think let the investigations go, He's a very respected man.
If it's proven to be a campaign finance scheme, do you think he should lose his job?
Yeah, if something can be proven that he did something wrong, always. You know?
Thank you.
Always. They've been looking at me for 4 years. They found nothing. 4 years. Think of it. For 4 years, from the day I came down the escalator, I've been under investigation by sleaze. And they found nothing.
No, they did not find nothing. If anything, they found too much. Somewhere in the FBI, there's a file cabinet labeled Trump's Crimes We Didn't Have Time For. I found, among other things, two separate criminal conspiracies to help get you elected, at least 10 instances of possible obstruction of justice, and a whole other separate thing you got impeached for. Just because you're not in jail yet doesn't mean they found nothing. Even OJ doesn't walk around saying, they found none of my gloves at the crime scene. So clearly Trump's approach is not working. Of course, it might not matter since we have an absurd electoral system that lets like 5 states choose the winner. And the winner is often the loser. It's like if you had the winning numbers on a scratch off and when you looked at it, the prize just said, give 10,000 bucks to the guy standing next to you. Knowing they have an electoral college advantage, Trump and his allies have made no attempt to reach out to the majority of voters that have consistently disapproved of him since day one of his campaign. Instead, they've invested in a two-pronged approach of distorting reality by pretending that so-called liberal cities are in chaos and also that the pandemic is over and the economy is great, none of which is true. Trump just did it again yesterday at his press conference.
Under my leadership, next year will be the greatest economic year in the history of our country, I project.
We're currently witnessing the fastest labor market recovery from an economic crisis in history, world history. By contrast, Biden presided over the worst, the weakest, and the slowest economic recovery since the Great Depression. It was a long, slow slog.
Listening to you read off a script is a long, slow slog. It's like listening to Rocky read an eye chart after 10 rounds with Apollo Creed. A, A, A. Then not all A's rock. And I'm sorry. You're calling the Obama recovery the worst, the weakest, and the slowest? If anything, that sounds like an action movie franchise about your three adult children. Trump and the GOP have decided their only choice is to spin a fantasy alternate reality where everything is great despite the fact that coronavirus cases are once again on the rise in 22 states and we've only recovered about half the jobs that were lost in what's been the greatest economic crash since the Great Depression. Just because some of those jobs came back doesn't make you an economic genius. If you gained 30 pounds during quarantine, you can't sell a workout tape called How to Lose 5 Pounds, and that's it.
More now on that new report out of The Atlantic magazine claiming President Trump called America's fallen service members suckers and losers. The president denying that report vehemently. Top Pentagon officials are weighing in. National security correspondent Jennifer Griffin has more on that. Jennifer.
John, I've spoken with two senior U.S. officials who were on the trip to France who confirmed to me key details in the Atlantic article and the quotes attributed to the president. My source, a former Trump administration official, told me when the president spoke about the Vietnam War, he said it was a stupid war. Anyone who went was a sucker. The president would say about American veterans, what's in it for them? They don't make any money. The source said it was a character flaw of the president. He could not understand why someone would die for their country. Not worth it.
Bunch of saps.
No, they're saps.
They're saps because they risk their lives for strangers.
Oh, that's pop talking.
You're goddamn right that's pop talking.
Risk their lives for their country.
Country ain't your blood, you remember that.
I don't feel that way.
Mikey, why didn't you come to us?
What do you mean?
I mean, Pop had to pull a lot of strings to get your deferment.
Could Donald Trump's smears against veterans and service members, calling those who serve losers and suckers, represent a political Waterloo for him? Well, he certainly seems to think so. Trump has spent the last 5 days fussing and moaning and protesting the reporting from The Atlantic, which now has been matched by nearly a half a dozen news organizations, including Fox News. Despite a weekend spent attacking four-star General John Kelly, as well as Steve Jobs' widow, who's financially linked to The Atlantic, attacks that culminated in a stunning broadside assault on the current leadership of the Pentagon. Trump seems truly, madly, deeply freaked out by the revelation that he essentially disdains the men and women of the military he leads as the country's commander-in-chief. Here's Trump's attack on military leaders.
So now nobody loves the troops more than me. Nobody. Okay, believe me. As OAN reported today, they said Donald Trump would have joined the military, but he would have been too much of a lethal weapon. Okay? Too much lethal. Remember Lethal Weapon? I liked Lethal Weapon. It was the great patriot, Mel Gibson, and the sort of old black he kept dragging around. And then Lethal Weapon 2. Remember the old black guy was on a toilet and it blew up? That's why I never share bathrooms with African Americans. But I liked the Lethal Weapon where the white was driving around the black. And I think it won Best Picture. What was that? Lethal Weapon 8? Remember that? Where he was driving him around and, you know, it was the guy played piano. It was an interesting sort of Lethal Weapon. But no, I love the troops. Nobody loves the troops. Probably nobody in history loves the troops as much as I do. You know, except for John Kelly, who's probably the biggest piece of walking the earth. And Mad Dog James Mattis, who, you know, I think they call him Mad Dog because he probably drank too much Mad Dog 2020 or 4040, whatever it's called. But that guy looks so weak. He looks like sort of a melting candle. He's so droopy, but total failure. And then John McCain got captured. And, you know, that's total pathetic loser. But respectfully, I say it respectfully. But no, I have great respect for our troops. Nobody respects our troops more than I do because I say it. I say I respect the troops. Just like I had 45 flags behind me at my great convention speech, because my entire administration is what I like to call patriotism for hateful dummies. We're going to start a book series called The Hateful Dummies Series. It's going to be so much stronger than the dummies series, but Patriotism for Hateful Dummies. Flags, sail of the troops, and then treat the troops like and disrespect them because they're low-educated trash. But they like me, so we're going to keep talking very nice things, except about the troops that don't support me. And those people are total failures. So, in conclusion, USA, patriotism, faith, Second Amendment, Mountain Dew for Brains, 2020.
Are those morons out there?
Yeah.
I can take chicken fertilizer instead of doing caviar. I can make them eat dog food and they'll think it's steak. Sure, I got them like this.
You know what the public's like, a cage full of guinea pigs.
Good night, you stupid idiot. Good night, you miserable slob.
There are a lot of trained seals. I toss them a dead fish and they'll flap their flippers.
He denies everything, and it usually means it's true, Barry McCaffrey. Here's the Washington Post reporting. Washington Post claiming that Trump said U.S. soldiers injured and killed in war were losers. In one account, the president told senior advisors they didn't understand why the U.S. government placed such value on finding soldiers missing in action because they had performed poorly and gotten caught and deserved what they got, according to a person familiar with the discussion.
You know, it is almost impossible to understand this man. His words would indicate he has no soul.
Donald Trump
has got soul.
Even Donald Trump
has got soul.
But probably Trump's most brazen and infuriating act of reality distortion yesterday came when he tried to con people into thinking he's an anti-war president. Trump was reacting to the furor over the Atlantic's bombshell report that he called Americans who died in war losers and suckers, which has been confirmed by multiple outlets, including the AP, CNN, and even Fox News, and also by common sense. I mean, it sounds exactly like something Trump would say. He probably thinks anyone who dies is a sucker.
I'm gonna live until I'm at least 200, just like Rudy. What's your secret, Rudy? You gotta sweat out the toxins, boss.
At his press conference yesterday, Trump tried to claim he's beloved by the troops, which is not true. Polls show active duty troops actually prefer Joe Biden. And then he took the lie even further, claiming Pentagon officials don't like him because he is against endless wars.
I'm not saying the military is in love with me. The soldiers are. The top people in the Pentagon probably aren't because they wanna do nothing but fight wars so that all of those wonderful companies that make the bombs and make the planes and make everything else stay happy.
Oh, yeah, man, totally. Everyone believes you're an anti-war activist. I could totally see you marching on Washington in the 60s with a beard and T-shaped glasses, holding a sign and smoking a joint.
It's like Lennon says, give peace a chance. I mean, I've already given peace a chance. Hard pass for me. Not a fan of the pee.
Second, this is an especially infuriating lie coming from a guy who is repeatedly touted billions in arms sales to a brutal regime in Saudi Arabia, vetoed a bill to end U.S. involvement in the horrific war in Yemen, massively expanded bombing campaigns across the world, including a record number in Afghanistan, increased the Pentagon's budget for the fifth consecutive year to the point where it's now near Iraq war levels, added billions to a Pentagon slush fund specifically for war fighting, and has bragged about sending U.S. troops to Saudi Arabia because Saudi Arabia would pay for it. Or how about the time Trump gleefully showed off all the weapons he was selling to Saudi Arabia's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman?
If you look in terms of dollars, $3 billion, $533 million, $525 million, that's peanuts for you. Should have increased it. $880 million, $645 million, $6 billion, that's for frigates. $889 million, $63 million, and that's for various artillery. THAAD system, $13 billion. The C-130 airplanes, the Hercules, great plane, $3.8 billion. The Bradley vehicles, that's the tanks, $1.2 billion, and the P-8 Poseidons, $1.4 billion.
You should have just worn a waiter's uniform and brought the weapons in on a dessert tray.
Would you like the Bradley tanks or the Hercules rockets or perhaps the chocolate mousse?
You know what? Should we be naughty? Should we get two? We're going to do the tanks and the mousse and then just bring bring a bunch of spoons. But the story about Trump denigrating Americans who died or were wounded in war is such a perfect window into the reality distortion machine on the right, because even Fox News, whose own national security reporter Jennifer Griffin confirmed the story, has sought to undercut it. Here's how Fox treated the story after Griffin confirmed it with her own reporting.
Don't you find it the least bit questionable that the Biden campaign, perhaps the slowest, clumsiest entity since Joe Biden himself, already had an ad made based on this this hoax?
We also know that the story is based on completely anonymous sources and that anonymous sources are participating in some kind of information operation against the president.
You wrote, there are no words for how disgusting and dishonorable this is. My question to you is, how do you know it's accurate? How do you know it's true?
Your own network confirmed it. Do you guys watch your own channel, or do you just take naps until Trump tweets something? What? He said he didn't have a series of mini-strokes? All right, are mini-strokes even a thing? You know what? It doesn't matter. Quick, get it on air and use this Chiron. Stroke of genius. And there's no better indication of the fact that Fox is a propaganda machine and not a real news organization than the fact that they're willing to undercut their own reporting to serve the president's agenda. No legitimate news organization would do that. When the New York Times reports something negative about Joe Biden, they don't use the headline, "Failing New York Times spreads fake news, sad." Just goes to show you, they can't actually campaign on their record, so instead they're trying to concoct an alternate universe where coronavirus is over, the economy is back, and a president who brags about arms sales is anti-war. If that doesn't work, Trump will probably just try to convince people that he's Joe Biden.
You know, I was just saying to my wife, Jill, no more malarkey. We hate malarkey, don't we, folks? We've had it up to here with the malarkey.
I think it's safe to say, at this point, instead of hiring the best and the brightest, the GOP and the Trump campaign are filled with
the worst, the weakest, and the slowest.
This is an important message for all my strong MAGA supporters. I'm not doing it through the fake news tonight. I need to talk directly to our great patriots. As you know, we are under attack. We're under vicious and nasty attack from the left. Law and order is collapsing. And they are using a very special, very nasty new weapon called soup. You know, we used to have a thing called soup kitchens. Not a lot of people know this, but it would be where the people who didn't have food, you know, kind of not hardworking people, they'd go and get the free soup, and you'd keep it in a big, like a big bucket, a bowl, pot, a big pot. And, you know, you'd dip the spoon, the big spoon, the big, Mike, what's it called, the ladle. The ladle? That's a funny word. You'd dip it in the ladle and you'd pour it out, but nobody could take the soup with them. It was safe in the big pots. And now, recently, probably under Obama, they invented something called soup cans. And don't get me started on bags of soup. They swing a bag of soup, you're a goner. That's one of the nastiest ways to go. But now they have cans of soup. And Mike, I know you said you hate cans, right? When mother walks in a tight shirt, you tell her you hate the cans. Not a fan of cans, Mike. He knew right away. But they're using soup as a weapon against us, and we're defenseless. All we have are assault weapons and, you know, insanity on our side. They have unlimited soup, unlimited quantities of soup, and they come in three varieties, and you got to look out for all of them. Campbell soup, which is kind of the poor people's soup, and the cans are kind of little. They can still hurt, but you got to be careful. And then Progresso, okay? We know what that sounds like, progressive. It's a nasty liberal soup. You get hit with one of those, it's like getting hit by the whole squad with their socialism. And last, watch out for chunky soup, used and endorsed by many African-American NFL players with the big chunks. Very tough. So get your weapons.
And then they have cans of soup. Soup.
You think you can get soup?
This is soup for my family. You have people coming over with bags of soup, big bags of soup.
Please, you're wasting everyone's time.
Oh, this is soup for my family. It's the perfect size. It's like made perfect.
You're pushing your luck, little man.
But a can of soup, you can really put some power into that, right?
Very good. Very good. You know something? No soup for you!
The White House rushes to respond to yet another damaging and explosive story about the president's comments made in private. This time, audio tapes revealing President Trump understood the true danger of the coronavirus in early February, all while playing it down to the American public for weeks and months after that. Now, in a series of interviews with veteran Washington Post journalist Bob Woodward for his new book, Rage, Trump admits that the virus is deadly and highly contagious.
So what was President Xi saying yesterday?
Well, we were talking mostly about the virus, and I think he's going to have it in good shape, but, you know, it's a very tricky situation. It's
it goes
through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air, and that's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus. This is more deadly. This is 5% versus 1% and less than 1%. You know, so this is deadly stuff.
All right. So just weeks later, Trump publicly doubted the exact same threat he just acknowledged to Woodward there in private.
Flu has a fatality ratio of about 0.1%.
Correct.
This has a fatality ratio somewhere between 2-3%.
Well, we don't know exactly what. And the flu is higher than that. The flu is much higher than that.
So later in March, the president then explained to Woodward why he felt the need to dismiss the danger in public.
I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
Now, while Trump was saying that to Woodward, he was telling the public this.
I don't think they're panicking. I don't think people are panicking. I said last night, we did an interview on Fox last night, a town hall. I think it was very good. And I said, calm. You have to be calm. It'll go away.
Here's where we are at this hour. 6 months later, the United States has nearly 6.4 million cases and more than 191,000 deaths, and still climbing.
As early as January 28th, the president was told by his national security advisor and his deputy national security advisor that this was a deadly virus, that it was coming from China, and that it was airborne.
Yeah, and it's obvious, you know, you asked the question, as they did during Nixon, what did the president know and when did he know it? And he clearly knew in January that this was going to be a major potential catastrophe for the country as well as the world. And rather than step up and take control the way a great leader like Winston Churchill would do or Franklin Roosevelt, he decided to play ostrich and bury his head and the American public in the sand and pretend that this huge threat didn't exist.
Vote once, twice. I would go and follow it and go vote.
At an airport rally in North Carolina Wednesday, President Trump told his supporters that if they vote by mail, they should also then go vote in person.
And then if they tabulate it very late, which they shouldn't be doing, they'll see you voted and so it won't count. So send it in early and then go and vote. And if it's not tabulated, you vote and the vote is going to count. You can't let them take your vote away.
In some states, you can ask for your mail-in ballot to be invalidated, but intentionally voting twice is fraud and a felony in most states and could lead to chaos at precincts on election day.
I am an innocent man. Oh, yes, I am.
Friend of mine said, you have to be the most innocent, honorable man ever to hold the office of president. Think of it. One friend said to me, you have to be the most innocent man in the history of the United States.
Friends of mine have said, sophisticated friends have said, you've got to be the most innocent guy ever to hold this office. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Friend of mine said, you have to be the most perfect person.
They had everybody up to.
I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. It might seem like a crush, but that doesn't mean that I'm serious. senses. That's just so typically me. Ooh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I play with your heart, got lost in the game. Ooh, baby, baby, oops, you think I'm in love. I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent. I cry watching the days. You see, I'm a fool in so many ways. But to lose all my senses, that's just so typically me. Ooh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I play with your heart too, got lost in the game. Ooh, baby, baby, oops, you think I'm in love. From above, I'm not that innocent.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.